In Luke chapter 11, this week at our meeting, up the pastor's meeting that I was at on Thursday in Roxana, the main topic, I guess is what you could say, of the meeting was bringing our churches back to a praying church. And, you know, prayer should be the main focus of what we do, because everything that happens should be revolved around prayer. Not only the business of the church, but everything that we do should focus, the main focus should be prayer first. Every great thing, every crazy event that happened in the scripture was built around prayer first. You know, you think about, we started our study on Bible study on Friday in the book of Acts. We're going to move through the book of Acts. So we started in chapter 1, and there they talk about the day of Pentecost and how, you know, the tongues of fire and, you know, was built around prayer right there. And how, you know, I think of those things. But so prayer, it should be something that we dedicate ourselves to. You know, we should absorb our life. Mean, it should be part of our life like breathing. Praying should be that. And we're communicating with our Lord and Savior. And that's why Paul, you know, talked about pray without ceasing. He prayed all the time, because it just, his life was just in constant communication. You know, his thoughts. So when I think about that, is my thoughts directed that way? And sometimes we think we don't know how to pray, and the disciples were like that too. And in Luke chapter 11, it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he'd finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us how to pray. I thought about that, and I thought, man, what a prayer it must have been. What a prayer that must have been. Can you imagine listening to Jesus pray and thinking, I want to pray like that. I want to pray like that. I mean, it impacted him so much. He was like, now this, you know, he's probably not used to praying like that. He's probably never heard that before, because he's used to praying with maybe just his lips. Jesus was praying with his heart. You know, he was praying this prayer that just kind of come from the heart. And he says, I want to pray like that. And I know I've heard people pray. You know, we've had some strong prayers in this church. I remember one guy that could just seem like he opened up the windows of heaven every time he prayed. And that was Brother Mitchell. Brother Mitchell could pray. Man, that guy knew how to pray. And I think of others, you know, that just absolutely, I was like, man, it just captivates you. You think, I want to pray like that. I want to pray like that. But it's not always like that. You know, Jesus, he goes on to say, Lord, you know, he said, when you pray, he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name. In other words, greatly revered, that hallowed, that greatly revered, that honored. That's what that word means, greatly revered or honored. Hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. That's what it says in the book of Luke. I read that. It's also in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus is saying this in Matthew chapter 6. I believe it's chapter 6. Yep. Verse 5, he says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." I love that prayer. It's not about how many times we pray. Some people say, "Well, I don't think any of us here could say that we pray enough. I think we could all say that I wished I could take more time to pray, and I probably should dedicate myself more to prayer." I think we all think that at times. And I don't think it's about how much time we spend. I think it's about the quality time. It's not about the quantity. It's about the quality of time that we spend in prayer. I think it's about our humility, and when we come to prayer, that we're sincere about it, and we're really pouring our hearts out to our Heavenly Father. And I think it's necessary. So I'm going to go through this tonight with some thoughts. In this passage of Matthew 6, 9, and 13, it says, it helps us how to pray. It is given to us for a pattern to Jesus, to us, not only to His disciples, but it's a pattern in how we should pray, and a pattern that has been given to us, not from our mouth alone. It's a pattern of prayer that comes from the heart. And our prayers must be in the inner core of our heart. And we need to let our hearts be worthy to Him. And we need to expose ourselves to Him. And that's what He's saying. We need to just open up ourselves. And from in verse 9 and 10, it says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The first words of prayer is heavenly worship, or words which millions of angels also proclaiming the glory of our God. So it talks about that in Revelation 19. And Jesus wants us to be like the angels, having a heart to give glory into His kingdom. And God accepted our worship. God accepts our worship and our praise. And even as we are imperfect in nature, He understands this state of being, of our imperfection. He understands that. But it doesn't mean that we can't practice, or we can't focus on opening, being in the sight of God and His righteousness, and opening up ourselves and our hearts to Him. And that's what He wants. Inside of God, we are righteous because He forgives our sins and He sanctifies us with His Holy Spirit. God wants us to be holy. The mouth of the holy man is a smile to God's face, and He really loves us. And God is still God, even when we're not in true worship with Him or in His true will. But God gets so much pleasure out of it when we humble ourselves and just open ourselves up and say, "Lord, Lord, God, sovereign God, loving God, hallowed be thy name. I give myself to you." from the words here, your will be done, in other words, of submission unto God. This is where we submit to Him. Jesus teaches us to pray with a humble heart. We are not asking to a small God to do small things. We're asking to a great God who can do all things. Amen? And we pray to this God. It's not something that we just, oh God, He might do it or He might not do it. We lay it out there like, Lord, let Your will be done. Lord, You're a great, mighty God. You're a big God, bigger than everything. You know it all. I just trust in You. I just trust in You. You know, I think a humble heart is a necessary thing in our prayer life. We have to be humble. We have to humble ourselves to Him. He goes on to say, give us today our daily bread. God knows everything we need, and He is willing to provide it. There's two things, I think, to be considered our daily bread. It can be our food or our basic needs as clothes or shelter or housing. God is already providing these little things and is already at work in our lives all the time. And you know, this our daily bread, it also can be a spiritual need. We need that spiritual filling every day. I spoke a little bit about that. You know, I know that sometimes we get so exhausted doing life. Sometimes we get so exhausted just doing church. I know a lot of church leaders, I know a lot of pastors, and we talk about that amongst ourselves sometimes when I get together with my pastor friends, how exhausting it is to be a pastor, how exhausting it is to spend time in prayer and to study, to preach, and to just, you know, visit people or to you know, in a sense, I worry about people. You know, my heart, I cry out, and it wears me out. And it's exhausting, but I know that we're all in that same position because there's times in our lives where we just become spiritually deflated. You know, and we don't have, you know, we're not like our cars that we drive today. You know, when we get our gas tank, you know, it's got a gauge on it, and we drive and we see that gauge start to drop, and we can say, okay, I'm at half a tank, I'm still good. I'm in a quarter tank, I can go a little farther. I'm at an eighth of the tank. Yeah, I can make it to town. And then the light comes on. We're thinking, okay, am I going to make it to town? I think I might. Leanne tries it all the time. Every time I get in the car, I start to drive, and I can't get out of the driveway, and the light will go, bing. I'm like, but you know, sometimes spiritually we're like that. You know, sometimes we get to a place where we're thinking we're okay, and we forget that God wants us to sit down and pray. He wants us to kneel down, get quiet. That's why Jesus used to go away. He used to get away from everybody because I think He just got exhausted from doing all the work that He needed to do with healing people and you know, talking to His disciples, teaching and all that. He had to get away for a moment and get His tank filled back up. That's why it's so important that we get in front of God and we humble ourselves. And this time, we got to get our tanks full and keep them filled up. And that spiritual fullness, you know, it's nice when you get in the car and it's got a full tank, right? It's like there's no worries. I can go, I can make it. Right? But when you start getting your tank empty, you're thinking, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can make it. You know? I got to be honest. I've not felt good today. You guys probably know that. I've not felt good today. You know, Leanne's sick at home, and I got up this morning, and I really just felt like, I don't know if I can do this today. And all afternoon, I laid on the couch all afternoon. And I look at the clock and I was like, oh, it's 3:00. Oh, it's 4:00. And I was thinking, I don't know if I can do this. And then I get to church. I walk in the door and they're singing a little bit. And I get to playing and I get to praising the Lord a little bit. My tank starts to get filled up. spiritually. Physically, I may be weak, but spiritually, man, there's no better place to be than be right here. You know, it fills my spirit up, and it's about getting into His presence and about praising Him. That's one way we can get our tanks filled up, but another way is getting before God. I think it's so important that we humble ourselves before Him. God knows what we need. He knows what we need before we even ask it. He knows our needs. He says, "Forgive us of our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors." This is another phrase for cleaning our hearts up. Sometimes we need to let go of those things. When we get into His presence, we need to let go of those things. There's a lot of times we get caught up in stuff, and you know, but we need to just clear ourselves and to make a request to God of our heart. I believe our heart must be in tune. It must be purified, like it must be clear. Our conscience must be clear. Does that make sense? Amen. That's why He says, "Forgive me of my sins, and I forgive my family or my friends or whoever sinned against me. I forgive them too. I let it all go, Lord. I come before You. I let it all go. You forgive me of my sins. Get rid of all that junk in my life. And then forgive the ones who... I don't want anything to hold me back. I don't want anything to hold me back from being able to communicate with my Father in heaven." Sometimes it gets rid of those wrong motives sometimes, even in our life, when we just humble ourselves to Him. To be effective in prayer, I think we need and should trust in Him and let Him, let His will be done. And it must... That has to be attached in our prayers. "Your will be done, Lord." We have to realize that He wants what's best for us. And we just have to trust in Him that whatever happens, it's what's best for us. And sometimes that's not easy, because sometimes we face hard trials. But yet, sometimes that's what's best for us. That's hard to think of. He says, "And lead us not into temptation." This is a prayer of supernatural protection, I believe, from God. We must pray always not to be tempted. As Jesus said to His disciples before He was crucified, God allows temptation to be done for the testing of our faith. And now we should pray always in asking for His guidance. He will help us to push away temptation, to overcome temptation. When we ask Him, "Lead me not into temptation," He said, and He says, "But deliver me from evil, from the evil one." Temptation's everywhere. It's all around us. I got to be honest, it is. Everywhere you look, I can't even hardly watch TV anymore. You see all this junk on TV. And it can become tempting to look at things you're not supposed to look at. You know, one thing that was said this weekend at our prayer, at our pastor's meeting, was the statistics. They use a lot of statistics, you know. But it said 33% of pastors have a problem with pornography. And that just really cut me hard. As I thought, wow, that's tough. I pray for those. But I can understand how easily you can become entrapped in that. Because it's everywhere you look. It's on TV. It's wherever you go. It's right there in front of you constantly. And, you know, in the society we live in today, I mean, it's right here in your hand. Right here. You can find it everywhere you go. And it's so easy to get caught up in that. And, you know, that's why we must stay constant in prayer and say, Lord, lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from that evil stuff. I want to get rid of all that junk in my life. I don't need that in my life. You keep me from that. You protect me from that. We pray those prayers like that. He will. He will keep you from it because He said He will. He said, I'll keep you from that. I'll protect you from that as long as you keep your eyes on me. As long as you keep humbling yourself to me, I'll keep watch over you. I'm your shepherd. I'm your good shepherd. What's a good shepherd do? It protects the flock. He's going to keep you. It says, and yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. From other versions of the Bible, it can't be seen, but for other gospels, this phrase, what I found is, it's for the kingdom of God to reign forevermore, be in our lifestyle. It's to bring glory down here, you know. Pray heaven down here. He said, like in heaven, you know, earth, you know, bring it down here. That's what He's saying. It should be in our lifestyle. We should be like we're in heaven. Amen? That's what I want, right? I want to bring the glory down. I want to bring heaven down. Amen? It should be like it is on earth as it is in heaven, is what He says. On earth as it is in heaven. Man, that's what I want, right? When I'm praying, wouldn't it be awesome to be like what John was? He said, I, John, on the island of Patmos, and I was in the Spirit, and a voice spoke to me, and he recognized that voice. He said, come up here. Come up here. I want to show you some things. And he was looking right into heaven. Amen. Wouldn't that be awesome to be knelt down in prayer and to hear God's voice and to turn to look and see right into heaven? Amen. Like it is on earth as it is in heaven. We should be praising Him, our focus, our lifestyle. Everything should be focused on heaven. One of these days, it'll be heaven on earth. One of these days, that's what His goal is. That's His plan. He says it in the book of Revelations. He'll make a new heaven and a new earth. And that's where we'll dwell. And that's what we're working towards. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, he says at the end of this. It's a Hebrew meaning for right, for true, and for correct. So if you ever knew that, why people say amen. When they say amen, that says, that's right, brother. That's true, and that's correct. And it's not the end of the prayer. This is a word. It's built in hope. And there's a hope that God accepts the prayers and listens from our prayers. This word is another word that gives glory to God for all the things that He has done. When we say, amen. That's right, Lord, because You promised that. You told me that. You say it in Your word that if I kneel down and I honor You and I ask for these things, Lord, You're just to give it to me. That's what it says. Prayer is a beneficial and truly proven in many times. And for thousands of years, prayer has been one of the key drivers of our spiritual health as believers. And, you know, it's our direct communication with heaven is when we kneel down and pray. And I think we need to take time to do that more often. We need to get alone with God. We need to get into our prayer closets and we need to pray. And we need to be sincere about it. I don't know. I just wanted to share that with you tonight and encourage you to pray. And I'm going to start coming here. I don't know what night, what evening, but I'd like to start coming. You're all invited. I'd love for the whole church to be there, but I don't care if it's just me or two or three. I'm still going to start praying. I'm going to come and pray for the church. And it's just going to be a time of prayer. I don't care if it lasts an hour or 2 hours or 10 hours. I'm going to come and start praying. And I may do that on Friday nights after Bible study. maybe about 8 o'clock or so, if that's not too late for some. If you want to meet a different time, come see me. And let's get a time together. If you'd like to join me in prayer, I'm going to be praying for our church and the future of our church, because I know that God is going to do great things here in this church. Got a good group of people that love the Lord. I know that. And I know He's going to do great things here. So I thank you guys for listening to the Word tonight.